Hello, thank you for joining us for our midweek Bible study at First Baptist Church, Goshen. This is the week after Thanksgiving, and so it's been a couple of weeks since we've recorded the midweek Bible study message. And so this week we are following up on what we looked at 2 weeks ago, where we looked at the living hope that we have in Christ. We also saw that our inheritance is described in verse 4 as incorruptible, undefiled. It's described as something that does not fade away, and that our inheritance is reserved in heaven for us. In verse 3, Peter blessed or praised God for making us born again to the living hope through the resurrection of Jesus. And then in verse 5 of 1 Peter 1, he reminds us that we are kept by the power of God through faith. Today we'll look at verses 6 through 9, and we will examine the trials that would come. No doubt that we experience trials every day, and as we will see later, trials will take on different forms. The trials we experience are for our good and to make us more like Christ, and we need to remember that when we face hardship, when we face trials, that the Lord allows these things to come into our lives, as well as at different times may even send a trial our way, so that it will make us more like Him. So let's look at verses 6 and 7 of 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, "You rejoice in this, even though now for a short time, if necessary, you suffer grief in various trials, so that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which though perishable is refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the day that you've provided for us. We thank you for the beauty of it. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your word. We thank you that it explains to us the different trials that we face, the various trials that we face, and it also helps us to understand that you are using these trials in our lives to make us more like you. And so, Lord, we ask that you would do that. You would make us more like you so that when the folks around us look at us, when they see our lives, that they can see Jesus in us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we look at verse 6, and in the first phrase of verse 6, we see Peter telling us to greatly rejoice. And we'll look at that in a little bit, but first we want to look at the last phrase of verse 6, where he tells us that various trials will come. Now, the word various can mean of an indefinite number, meaning more than one. And with it being an indefinite number, it could be any number. It could be two, it could be three, it could be an infinite number. It's just a number that is more than one when it's looking at various trials. It can also be defined as of differing kinds. And so I find that both definitions apply to our experience of trials as believers. Trials do come at various times, and they come with various frequency, as well as with various intensity. It is possible to go through more than one trial at a time. And many of us have gone through more than one trial at a time, and maybe you're even going through several trials at this time as you're listening to this message. And it's also possible to have various amounts of time between trials. A follower of Christ will find that they either just finished a trial, or they are in a trial, or they are about to start a trial. And as we go through this passage, we will see that the trials are not meant to break us. They're not meant to overcome us, but they are meant to refine us and make us more like Christ. So before we look at the reason for trials, let's continue to look at what is meant by the word various. And so various deals with differing kinds as well as differing numbers. So let's look through Scripture and look at some different or some various trials that we'll experience. And so I've got a few examples I want to share with you today. The first example, it comes from Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 8. And there in Hebrews 3, it says, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness." And so the writer of Hebrews is quoting from the time that the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness on their way to the promised land. And so they were a nation without a land to call their own. They were strangers in the land, though, through which they traveled, and they were looking for the promised land. And if you'll recall going back to Exodus and looking at the situation that they were in, they were led by the Lord with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And so whenever that cloud or fire moved, the nation of Israel had to move and follow that cloud or pillar of fire, depending on whether it was day or night. And so they didn't know the way they were going. They just had to follow the Lord's leading in that. And they had to rely on the Lord for provision, in that the Lord provided them with manna and quail for their food. And there were times when the Lord also provided water by telling Moses on one occasion to strike the rock, and then on another occasion told Moses to speak to the rock. Of course, Moses obeyed and disobeyed in the second instance, and there's a whole other sermon in that to go back and look at what happened there when Moses disobeyed the Lord. But as the nation of Israel was going through the wilderness, they were in a position in which they depended on God for direction, provisions, and protection. Thinking about the protection when they were at the Red Sea, the army of Egypt was behind them. They had mountains on one side of them, and they were boxed in. There was nowhere to go other than into the sea or to death. And so the Lord parted the Red Sea. He provided the protection before he parted the Red Sea by putting a column of fire or a wall of fire between them and the Egyptian army. And so we need to find ourselves in a similar situation as the Israelites, in that we are depending on God for direction in our life. We're depending on God for the provisions that we have, and we need to depend on God for protection. And so we need to depend on God for everything. You know, we may go to work, we may punch time clock, we may be salaried, we do our work, we get the paycheck. But what we've got to understand is that those provisions, God's granted us the ability to go to work. He's granted us the job. He's provided those things for us. And so we need to recognize that everything that we have comes from Him, and we need to depend completely upon Him. And so sometimes it takes a trial in life to get us to that point, like He had to get the Israelites, so that we depend completely upon the Lord. And so we see a second example of trials in Scripture, and we find that in Luke chapter 8, verse 13. It says, "And the seed on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, having no root. These believe for a while and fall away in a time of testing." Now, the word for testing here in Luke is the same word used for trial in 1 Peter 1:6. And from this example we see in Luke, Jesus is telling us about a testing or a trial that comes on us to reveal what we are made out of. Or rather testing to reveal the genuineness of our faith. And so in Luke, Jesus is saying that there are those that joyously receive the word and they believe for a while, but in the time of trial, they fall away. Now, I want to make clear that this is not a situation where someone has had salvation and they quit believing and lose their salvation, because that's not genuine faith. Genuine belief, genuine faith is a faith that perseveres through trials. It's a faith that does not fade away even in the midst of a heavy trial. The trials are not for God to see whether or not we have true faith, because He already knows. The trials are there to reveal to ourselves as well as others whether or not we truly believed. And so the trial reveals to us our faith, and also can reveal the faith of others. And so we need to understand that sometimes those trials come to reveal whether or not we have truly believed. And I hope that for each of us listening this, if we place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that as the trials come, it will reveal that we have a true faith in Jesus, a faith that is unfading, a faith that is unwavering, a faith that will stand the test of time. And so I just want to encourage you to persevere even in the time of testing. And so we also have a third example of trials and how the Lord uses them. We find that in Galatians chapter 4 and verses 13 and 14. It says there in Galatians 4:13, "You know that previously I preached the gospel to you because of a weakness of the flesh. You did not despise or reject me, though my physical condition was a trial for you. On the contrary, you received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus himself." And so in this passage, we see that we can have trials through sickness and suffering. And many of us, we've watched as friends and family have walked the path of cancer, autoimmune disease, organ failure, and other diseases. When we go through times like these times of sickness and dealing with suffering because of physical ailments, they will try our faith, and they will cause us to go through a hard time, not just in a physical suffering, but even in a spiritual suffering, if you will. And not only do we have that testing of our faith, but we also can find that when we go through trials like that, they can deepen and strengthen our faith. We find the Apostle Paul says in one of the epistles, he talks about the fellowship of suffering that he has with the Savior. And so there is a special fellowship that is there when we go through trials like this and physical suffering and physical ailments. Going back in my life and thinking about just a few years ago, my kidney failure, my journey to dialysis and transplant was a trial for me. But it wasn't just a trial for me. It was a trial for Christy. It was a trial for my children. It was a trial for my family, as well as the church that I pastored. And so what we're seeing here in Galatians is we're looking at this idea of a physical trial and what Paul is saying to the Galatians in his physical trial that he was going through. We find that when a individual goes through a physical trial, it's not just a trial that affects that one person, but it affects everyone around that person, family members, friends, the church itself. And so we can understand that when we have a loved one going through a physical, mental, or spiritual sickness, it is a trial for us as well as for them. Then we have a fourth example of trials. In Matthew 26:41, it says, Jesus told his disciples there, "Stay awake and pray so that you won't enter into temptation." And this word temptation is a synonym for trial. And he continues there, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And so Jesus said this to Peter after he found him asleep. Jesus was going through an intense spiritual battle while in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he knew that Peter and the others would be under the attack of the evil one. And so we need to understand that some trials can be from the evil one with an intention to get us to mess up, get us sidetracked, to ruin our witness, or even to rebel against God. You go back and you look at the book of Job and you see how the evil one, the devil, went after Job to get him to mess up, to curse God, to get him to rebel against God. And so we will sometimes have trials and temptations that come at us because the evil one is coming to see what we're made out of, trying to get us to rebel against God. And so as we've looked at these examples, we can understand that we will face various trials, and this term various trials is not referred to a localized trial or a season of suffering. Rather, it means that there will be seasons in life where we may lack provision, power, position, protection, and even a sense of permanence. It also means that at times you will become the recipient of verbal or physical persecutions that come on account of the Word of God and on account of following Jesus. This word various also reveals to us that trials include the pain experience, through personal sickness, as well as watching as loved ones deal with life-threatening illnesses. And this term various trial can also include these dark moments in life when we must fend off the attacks of Satan. And so we need to also understand that not only that we have these various trials, but we need to understand that these trials are needed. In verse 6 of 1 Peter 1, again, it says, "You rejoice in this, even though now for a short time, if necessary, you suffer grief in various trials." And so I want to acknowledge right now that trials are hard. And we can see in verse 6 the word grieve there, that we suffer grief in these various trials. And this has the idea of heaviness or even pain as we are grieving over these various trials. And trials are not something that can be met or overcome through our own power. If we can overcome it on our own power, it's not really a trial. It's not really a temptation. It might be a hardship or something, but if it does not take God to get through it, it's not really a trial or temptation as Peter is talking about here in chapter 1, verse 6. What we can understand is that these trials are hardships that require us to depend upon God that are only for a season, or as Peter puts it, is for a little while. And as we'll see here in the passage, the Lord knows exactly what we need, but not only does he know what we need to correct our behavior or to get us to depend upon him, but he also knows exactly how long we need it. He uses the trial for his glory and for our good. Let me read verse 7 again, and it will help us to understand why we need these various trials. It says in verse 7, "So that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which, though perishable, is refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So here, Peter is bringing to mind the imagery of a goldsmith refining gold by burning off the impurities in it. It is very important for us to understand this imagery of the goldsmith because it speaks to what the Lord does with trials in our lives as Christians. Trials in the life of a Christian, they serve to burn off the impurities that still remain in us. Trials sanctify us by making us give up our sin and rebellion. They make us submit to God and yield ourselves to his will. Warren Wiersbe writes regarding this passage, and especially verse 7, that Peter illustrated this truth by referring to the goldsmith. No goldsmith would deliberately waste the precious ore. He would put it into the smelting furnace long enough to remove the cheap impurities. Then he would pour it out and make from it a beautiful article of value. It has been said that the Eastern goldsmith kept the metal in the furnace until he could see his face reflected in it. Man, what a glorious thought for us to consider today. When we think about trials, the Lord using trials in our lives like a goldsmith purifies gold in the smelting furnace. And I like the way Wiersbe brought out to us the truth that no goldsmith would deliberately waste the precious ore of gold. So the Lord is not going to deliberately waste any part of us, and he's not going to be wasteful with the process of purifying us through these trials. And the other thing that is very vivid in this idea of an Eastern goldsmith is that he keeps us in the trial just long enough that the impurities that he's targeting will be burn up and burn out. And in addition to that, to think about the way that the Eastern goldsmith knew when it was time that the gold had been purified enough, and he knew it by being able to see his face in the metal as it was sitting there in the fire. And so as the goldsmith was purifying that gold over the fire, and when he was able to see his face in the gold, he knew that it was time to remove the gold from the fire. And so it's a beautiful thought that the Lord leaves us in the trial until he can see his face in us. And when he sees his reflection in us, when he sees us reflecting him, he knows that the trial has served its purpose and he's able to pull us out. And so this is why we consider it joy when we face various trials, is because the trials are making us like Jesus. And we see the result of trials is that we can give praise to the Lord. We can give honor to him, and as well as glory. And in addition to all that, when Jesus returns, our faithful endurance will bring to him these offerings of praise, honor, and glory. Our trials will offer to Jesus ourselves, having been refined by fire and having been conformed to the image of Christ. These trials purify us and makes us more like him. So, brother and sister in Christ, keep pressing on. Keep on keeping on. As you face these trials, as you face these hardships, God is with you, he is for you, he is working in you, and he will finish the work that he has begun in you. All of this is the result of salvation, not only being saved from our sins, but being saved to the likeness of Christ for all of eternity. And so today, I want to encourage you again, Christian brother and sister, take courage. Take courage because the Lord is using all things for your good. Maybe today you need to take a time of prayer. Maybe you've had a woe is me attitude, saying something like, nobody loves me, everybody hates me. Or maybe you're saying the world is against you. That woe is me attitude needs to be set aside, and you need to take courage and have faith that God is using this for your glory. So I challenge you to take time and to just praise the Lord for what he's doing, to understand the promise of Scripture that he's using these things for your good. Let us pray together. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for how it encourages us. And we ask that you would help us as we face the various trials in our life to endure them with praise and with joy, knowing that you are using these things for our good and for your glory. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. I hope that you have a great day, and I thank you for joining me for another midweek Bible study. Take care.